Hi everyone, my name's Sally and I'm here with another episode of A to Easy. This week we're talking about septic arthritis in adults. You may think this is a bit of a niche topic, but it is an orthopaedic emergency. It's really important to recognise and it gives us a wonderful opportunity to talk about other causes of arthritis as well as part of our differentials. So, in this episode we will talk about what causes septic arthritis, who's more likely to get it, how it presents, but we're also going to talk about how you can differentiate it from other causes of arthritis, and then we'll wrap it up with some management at the end. I'm stressing this is septic arthritis in adults because the management is quite different for paediatrics. However, fun fact, did have septic arthritis as a kid, so I have a vested interest in making this podcast really good. But before we get going, I'm going to introduce my special guest, Harry.
Did you actually just call me your special guest? I'm not a guest, okay? I'm not a guest.
I'm so sorry, my esteemed colleague, Harry.
Oh, for goodness sake. Right, hi everyone. Nice to see you. Hear you? Nice to talk at you.
Great, let's get going. So, Harry, how would you describe septic arthritis to a layperson?
So, it's an infection of a joint.
Yeah, and that's really good wording, actually, because it's specifically an infection of the joint space, like the synovial fluid and the cartilage, and not the bone itself. If you've got an infection in the bone, that's a complication of septic arthritis, which we'll talk about later, but it's got a different name. Septic arthritis, it can occur in any joint in the body, most commonly seen in the knee, followed by the hip statistically.
But how do you get an infection in a joint space? Like, how does it actually get there?
So there's two possible routes. One is direct inoculation. So for example, the patient has surgery on that joint and that surgical intervention has introduced bacteria. That's quite logical, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
The other possibility is spread through the blood. The patient has another infection at a different site of the body, like a skin infection or UTI, and the bacteria will travel through the bloodstream and reach a joint. That space with the synovial fluid, for some reason, it's a really easy place for bacteria to colonize. And that's quite useful to know just because those two routes, direct inoculation and spread through the blood, they give us the risk factors for people who can develop septic arthritis. So anyone who's had recent surgery to the joint, especially someone who's had a prosthesis, because that's like new foreign material into the joint space. Also anyone who's immunosuppressed, because that increases the likelihood of the spread through the blood of an infection. And anyone who's got a joint disease, because that means that that joint space is already traumatized, there's already some inflammation there, which makes it even easier for colonization of these bacteria. And then when we look at the epidemiology, we'll see that overall, you're looking at high incidence in the very young, so under 2 years old, and the very elderly, so adults, elderly adults in particular.
Okay, so there are two general routes of getting it. Direct inoculation, which is like surgery, for example, maybe a new prosthesis, and then hematogenous spread. So think of infections coming in of the blood into the joint space. And key risk factors include surgery, immunosuppression, more likely to get an infection, and joint disease itself that will facilitate that problem. And then when you look at the epidemiology, you've got to consider really young people or really old people.
Perfect.
Okay, so do we need to know anything about the bacteria specifically?
Not yet. When you get to year five and you do PATH, then you will need to know loads about the bacteria, but we're not going to worry about that today. Most important thing to remember is the most common causative organism of septic arthritis is Staph aureus, the skin colonizer, the classic one, followed by streptococci. So together, I looked up a paper and it said that Staph and strep cause 91% of all septic arthritis. However, one slightly more niche one to bear in mind is that if your patient is young and sexually active, Neisseria gonorrhea can also cause septic arthritis, so it's worth checking for.
Okay, so strep and staph, and if you've got a sexually active patient who's young, maybe consider gonorrhea. But how do these patients with these infections actually present?
Good question. This gets a bit complicated because arthritis is a huge topic and we're talking about just one cause of arthritis. So I'm going to describe the specific presentation of septic arthritis, but I'm also going to compare that with, wait for it, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, reactive arthritis, and crystal-caused arthritis, such as gout, which are the other four causes of arthritis that I'm afraid we do need to know in year three, according to Sophia.
That makes me sad. Okay, so you need to know about septic, osteo, rheumatoid, reactive arthritis, and gout. That's a lot.
It is a lot. It makes sense because they're very prevalent in the community and they have huge impacts on quality of life. It makes sense that we do need to know about all these different types of arthritis. And luckily, in terms of presentation, there are ways we can differentiate them. So that's what we're going to do now. Starting with septic arthritis, because that is our orthopedic emergency. This is the golden phrase. You are looking for a hot, swollen, acutely painful joint with restriction of movement. In fact, if you look it up, BMJ Best Practice says that this presentation, I'm going to say again, hot, swollen, acutely painful joint with restriction of movement, is basically considered septic arthritis until proven otherwise. It's that characteristic. So you're thinking one joint, remember I said knee, maybe hip, the patient will not want to weight bear on this, it'll be extremely painful. And when I say acute, I'm not thinking like the day of, we're not talking about stroke, but less than 2 weeks since onset, the patient will be surprised by the pain, surprised that it's entered their life. And you can also look for the risk.
Surprised that it's entered their life, as opposed to those infections that you expect.
I'm thinking of osteoarthritis, Harry, but you're jumping the gun. We'll get there in a minute, okay? Okay?
All right.
And we also, we also know the risk factors now, right? You know, so you can think, is your patient got another cause of immunosuppression? Do they have an obvious skin infection, for example, or recent joint surgery? That picture, that's septic arthritis. Keep that in your heads. Now we're going to move on to thinking about the others. So osteoarthritis is different in several ways. It can affect the knee and it can be asymmetrical. The patient can complain in pain in one knee before the other. However, this isn't acute, this is chronic. The patient will develop this over months to years. They won't be surprised by this pain. Also, thinking about what the joint looks and feels like, it may be a little bit warm from the inflammation, but it's unlikely to be hot and swollen like a septic joint. So that's osteoarthritis. Are we happy?
Yeah, we're happy. So hot, swollen joint, acutely painful versus a long-standing joint problem that's getting worse, that's not particularly hot, not particularly swollen. It just might be a little warm.
Excellent. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. Okay, now thinking about rheumatoid arthritis. So this looks very different because this is a symmetrical arthritis, so on both sides of the body. It's a polyarthritis, so multiple joints will be affected. And it's often the small joints. We're thinking joints in the hands and the wrists and the feet. They can get acute flares of pain, but the distribution is totally different. That's rheumatoid arthritis. Now moving on to reactive arthritis. So reactive arthritis is a bit of a funny one. It's all in the name. It's an arthritis in reaction to an infection in the body, but we're thinking about a genitourinary infection or a GI infection that's caused systemic inflammation that localizes in a joint. It's difficult because in some ways it can present similarly to septic arthritis. It's quite an acute pain and it is usually one joint only. However, it's very different in that it's a self-limiting condition. It doesn't cause irreversible harm. Therefore, in history, ask about recent tummy bugs or recent other infections, but it's a diagnosis of exclusion. Always investigate for septic, even if you suspect it's reactive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And now lastly, we're thinking about crystal causes of arthritis, such as gout. So again, this can present with an acutely painful hot joint, but this one is characteristically in the foot. We're actually thinking the first MTP joint of the big toe. It's characteristic. Obviously, it's not always there. You can get it in the wrist, for example, but it usually is in that first MTP joint. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, so, okay. Reactive arthritis is a diagnosis of exclusion. Rheumatoid tends to occur in the small joints of the hands and the feet. And similarly in the feet, you tend to get gout, which is in the first MTP joint. These are all fairly different sounding to the hot, swollen joint of septic arthritis, which is most common in which joint, just to be clear?
Most common in the knee.
Most common in the knees. Okay, so if you think the knee, hot, swollen joint, that is classic septic arthritis.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least you don't want to miss septic arthritis, so always investigate for it.
Fine.
Great.
Okay, so would someone with septic arthritis also be systemically unwell since it's an infection, or would they have a fever? You know, would they have a fever? What's going on?
Oh, that's such a difficult question because, yeah, I looked into this as well. I wasn't entirely sure. And basically, usually they have a fever. Sometimes they don't have a fever. It's not a reliable indicator either way. As you say, they have got an infection, but it depends. If the infection spread through the blood from somewhere else, yes, they'll be systemically septic. That's a very likely possibility. However, if it was direct inoculation, and at the moment maybe it's quite a small collection of pus in the joint only, the patient may not present with a fever. It's a bit difficult.
Okay, but ultimately, if the problem was due to a very localised infection, which makes sense because it's just an infection of the joint sometimes, then you're not going to have a systemic feature. But other times, if it's come through a systemic problem, like the blood, then you might have features.
Yeah, exactly. So look for a fever, definitely do your basic observations. But again, you can't rule out septic arthritis if the patient hasn't got a fever.
Fine. So let's say someone comes to A&E and they've got a hot, swollen, acutely painful joint with restriction of movement, all those classic features. What do we do next? What do we actually do?
Okay, so start with the basics. Always do history and examination. With orthopaedic examinations, although we don't have to do them in third year, the thing to remember is that joints can get referred pain, so always examine the joint above and below. So if a patient comes with knee pain, Harry, which joints are you going to examine?
There's an anatomy quiz here. I'd say the hip and then the ankle.
Yes, you passed. Well done. Well done.
Look at me go, smashing it.
Great, so we've done that. Then moving on to your bedside test. So you get a set of basic observations, look at the temperature for sure. But then thinking about your bloods, this is where you can get quite targeted when we think about all of those different causes of arthritis as well.
Oh, so this is why you told me them.
Yeah, sorry, they're going to crop up a few more times. But think about all the content, guys, you're absorbing right now. Like, this is really productive use of time. Well done. Bloods. Okay, full blood count to check white cell count and CRP. Also get a serum urate because that will help you rule gout in or out. And lastly, for blood tests, I would get blood cultures. You'd also order an x-ray of the joint. This is helpful for our differentiators, but not really that helpful for septic arthritis. You may not see any specific signs if there's an infection because it's just in the joint space, remember, it's not in the bone. However, it may help you point towards some of the other causes of arthritis, especially if you see chondrocalcinosis.
What is chondrocalcinosis?
Harry, how do you not know this? Chondrocalcinosis is calcium deposition in the articular cartilage. Basically, it has loads of causes. If you look this up on Radiopedia, we've got a little link in the description for you guys. But the causes do include gout and cartilage degeneration, such as osteoarthritis.
So it helps rule out septic arthritis if you see those?
Oh gosh, you're asking me really difficult questions. I suppose what I would say is that chondrocalcinosis shows if there is any long-standing disease in that joint. However, do you remember I said that long-standing disease of the joint can also predispose to septic arthritis?
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't exclude it.
No, it doesn't. I think basically if someone comes in with a painful joint, you're always going to get an x-ray of it. If you see chondrocalcinosis, you can dig a bit more in history, see if there's anything long-standing that you need to know about. But gold standard investigation actually for septic arthritis is a synovial fluid tap. That fluid is critical to diagnosis and that shouldn't be delayed.
Okay, so who can do our gold standard procedure?
Yeah, good question. Because, you know, you might be in the GP. You might be a GP and your patient comes in and they're complaining about an acutely hot, swollen knee. And you might be like, okay, I need a nice synovial fluid tap. What do I do now? Answer is they need to go to secondary care. In A&E, a synovial fluid tap can be done who's anyone who's been trained to do that procedure with two exceptions. The exceptions are if the joint is a prosthetic joint, or if it's the hip. If it's the hip or a prosthetic joint and you are suspecting a septic arthritis, then they need to have a synovial fluid tap under ultrasound guidance. So short answer, if it's in the hip or it's a prosthesis, call orthopedics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. So in those two circumstances, call orthopedics. But otherwise, in A&E, most people can do it. So ultimately, your A&E team is the ones taking charge for that.
Yeah, exactly. If it's in a knee that hasn't had surgery on it before, you can do a synovial fluid tap without ultrasound guidance, and that can be done in A&E.
Fine. And the key point is, as long as we don't forget, because there's an infection there, you need to tap the joint and see what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So you get that fluid from the tap. What does the fluid tell you?
Okay, great. So you send the fluid to micro, and you ask for a couple of things. You ready?
Yep.
Urgent microscopy, culture, sensitivity, and polarizing microscopy. Okay. So these are all really important, and really important again for our differentiators. If you have a septic arthritis, you're going to expect to see white cells under microscopy and you're going to grow something under culture. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For reactive, rheumatoid, and osteoarthritis, You may get some white cells, not as many as a septic arthritis, and you won't grow anything in culture. That's going to be a sterile fluid, okay? And then lastly, for our crystal arthritis for gout, you're going to see crystals under polarizing microscopy. So that's why we order those three things: microscopy, culture and sensitivity, and polarizing microscopy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Sweet.
So, okay, so the patient comes in, you've taken a history and examination, you've done bloods, you've arranged an x-ray, which isn't that great, but it can help you. And the main thing you've done is organize a synovial tap. And you've asked for microscopy, culture and sensitivity, and polarizing microscopy. It's an infection, so I'm guessing the management includes antibiotics, but could you start these straight away?
A great question. So do you remember the two caveats from before?
Yeah, what? So if they've got a hip problem or a joint, that's a prosthetic.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's either of those two situations, you've already sent them to orthopaedics, and most likely they will have been sent for washout and fluid collection in theatre. They're complex cases because if you've already got a prosthesis and you give them an antibiotic that the bacteria isn't sensitive to, you're likely going to ruin that prosthesis. So that's much more of a like complex specialist management situation where you would definitely wait for the culture and sensitivity to come back. However, if it's our more standard non-prosthetic knee, classic normal case, according to BMJ best practice, if the fluid from your tap looks septic, then you start imperial antibiotics ASAP. So whatever your trust recommends.
Okay, when you say look septic, what do you mean?
So yeah, looking septic, let me think about how to describe this. Normal synovial fluid is transparent. It's either colourless or it can be like a faint straw colour. But then if you compare that inflamed synovial fluid, such as a patient with rheumatoid arthritis, the colour like gets a bit stronger. It might be slightly more yellow, but you should be able to still see through it. Whereas if you think about septic synovial fluid, trust me, it looks just like pus. It's like yellow or green and it's really thick and you won't be able to see through it. It's hard to explain. It's probably one of those things that once you see it, you won't forget it. But we're going to put a link to a photo in the description so you guys can have a look now while you're listening. So to summarize, guys, if the septic arthritis is in the hip or in a prosthetic joint, you immediately call orthopedics. You don't attempt your own synovial tap because in all likelihood, orthopedics will want to do a proper washout of that joint, get the fluid then, and send it for microscopy and culture to work out exactly what type of antibiotics that patient needs. If the septic arthritis is in a knee that's not a prosthetic joint, it's an uncomplicated case. Yes, a synovial tap can be done in A&E. And according to BMJ best practice, if that fluid from that tap look septic, so you can't look through it, it's a thick white, yellow, green colour, then you start the empirical antibiotics according to local trust guidelines.
Okay, so with that all in mind, tell me about the antibiotics that we end up putting them on.
Yeah, of course. So as I said, start them on the empirical one according to local trust guidelines, adjust according to the culture and sensitivities as they come back. By then, this patient will be well under the care of orthopaedics. This won't be the F1 and A&E's job at all. But just for general interest, that patient is going to need IV antibiotics for at least 2 weeks and then 4 weeks of oral. They need a long-term treatment in order to make sure all of that infection's gone. And if they're not responding to the antibiotics, if the CRP is not coming down, then they still might need surgery anyway to just clear out the infection manually, do a washout, or even replace part of the joint.
And is that the problem that you mentioned before when the infection spreads to the bone, essentially, and you need to replace the joint?
Yeah, exactly. So that's called osteomyelitis. So yeah, your infection's in the joint space, but if it's left unchecked or it's not responding to the antibiotics, it will invade the bone, cause irreversible bone damage and joint destruction. And that's often only salvageable by like a complete replacement of the joint. And that's one of the major complications of septic arthritis. So if you're on a ward round and your consultant asks you, name me a complication of septic arthritis, say osteomyelitis, leading to irreversible bone damage. There's a second one though, and that is sepsis itself. Because remember, this is an infection. Like even if it didn't start off in the blood, it has every likelihood of going there. And septic arthritis has a mortality of 11% because of the likelihood of sepsis.
Okay, that's really high.
Yeah, it really is. It took me by surprise as well. So that's why we're doing this episode. And that's why it's really important to remember, golden phrase, that a hot, swollen, acutely painful joint with restriction of movement is septic arthritis until proven otherwise.
And that's important because there's an 11% mortality and there are complications as well of joint destruction and sepsis.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. So that means we're done.
Cool. We're done.
Sweet.
Hello. This is Yvonne with your 30-second summary on septic arthritis. Septic arthritis refers to infection of the joint space by bacteria. The most common joint affected is the knee, and the most common causative organism is Staph aureus. Patients are most likely to present with a hot, swollen, acutely painful joint with restriction of movement. The gold standard investigation is analysis of the synovial fluid. This can be tapped in A&E in uncomplicated cases, but if it's a hip joint or a prosthetic joint, orthopedics are likely to want to do a full washout of the joint at the same time. Management is IV antibiotics, initially empirical for uncomplicated cases, but targeted for hip or prosthesis. Main complications are sepsis and osteomyelitis.